Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Definitely is. How you I'm doing, back. Ricky B?
I'm back with another good one. What's going on, bud? Good to see you.
Definitely. It's a pleasure all the way around. Love to be here. Definitely always a good scenery.
Today we're going to talk about politics, I guess. Or something like that, right?
Honestly, that perspective, that's just like a small fraction of what I'd like to highlight on today.
Wait, before you do that, we gotta do our intro.
Intro.
See, you can't forget the intros. All right, guys. Well, without further ado, welcome to the Wheelhouse. And today's episode, as all episodes for the whole year, are going to be brought to you by the one and only Forrester Automotive. Check him out. This guy is got all the treats, guys. Mild to wild. Car Stress Classics. 4945 Page Ave, 517-764-9208. Go check him out.
Hit him up.
Good guy. All right. Now, back to business.
Back to business.
What is going on? Would you like some background music or no? I don't think we need it. We're good.
Yeah, we're all right. So to be concise and clear and straight to the point, over this last week in the United States of America, I have personally seen on social media platforms the most disgusting behavior out of our citizens that I have ever seen in my entire life. Absolutely asinine, absolutely evil. I mean, Miss Irina on the train getting stabbed in her neck and everybody just sitting there not doing jack shit.
Right. That was horrible.
And then you have...
That was hard to watch.
Man, it really was. At first, you know, when you seen it, you didn't really know what happened until you seen all the blood later on and, you know, her collapse and speechless. Right. I mean, she didn't have a voice in the world to advocate or to help her out. And it wasn't until it was too late that somebody actually stepped up to do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole problem with the United States today. Our citizens, it's easier to tuck tail and run to self-preserve than it is to put yourself on the front line to actually do something that's going to help out your brother, your neighbor. You know, we got the Charlie Kirk assassination by some 22-year-old punk-ass kid.
Man, they found that guy quick. I think his dad turned him in.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
This morning.
I mean, I would be absolutely disgraced as a father. I would feel like the worst piece of shit if I had just raised up a murderer.
Right. I wonder how that all happened. Did he come to his dad and say, "Dad, I killed somebody, blah, blah, what do I do?"
I'm supposing like it's some kind of inadvertent way. They're not really giving us the full descriptive yet. They got to run their investigation. Cash Patel has been on it.
Yep.
I mean, just... everything surrounding the chaos, I mean, that's only part of it. While all this was going on, there was a city council member, I can't remember exactly what state it was from, but I had heard that somebody went in with a 5-gallon bucket full of gasoline and threw it on this person and set them on fire.
When was this?
This was just here in this last week.
What in the fuck?
And that's not even the worst thing. There was this man who was...
What up, Alicia?
There was a man that was a manager at a motel in Texas, and he had a disagreement with... Or maybe it was... Yeah, I think it was a laundromat. And he had a disagreement with a customer, and the dude pulled out a machete and beheaded him.
Oh, damn.
You seen his head roll across the damn parking lot, and then he walks over to it nonchalant like it didn't fucking matter... And picked the head up and just kept walking and went and threw it in the trash can.
Right. That's like, crazy as hell, man.
Man, what is this world coming through? No, this is not an AI filter.
Alicia, this is our good friend, Mr. James.
I'm Jesse James, the one and only civil rights advocate and litigator here in Jackson, Michigan.
That's correct. Yep. Remember the name, Jesse James.
I'm part of the We Shall Be Free tour that's led by Tanawa Downing and Jessica Saxton.
Yep.
They're making moves across the United States advocating for everyone, not just me, not just Rick, but all of you. Anyone who calls themselves a United States citizen that wants to invoke your constitutional rights someday and actually get the full amenity of what it actually is supposed to do for you. Because right now, all we have is suppressed Constitution. We have a convolution of the United States.
A convolution of the fucking Constitution, sons of bitches.
That's really what it is.
And you know what? I do appreciate it, because at first everybody looks at you and they're like, man, this guy's fucking crazy. What is he doing? But then you realize, like, okay, he's actually speaking, like, true words that are, like, true, you know what I mean? It's true light. Like, we are. We're getting fucked, period. And it's good he's finally speaking up. That's how you get shit to happen.
I mean... Speaking of getting shit to happen, that's the reason why I'm doing this. That's what advocacy is speaking on it, is getting out here to the American people. Mm-hmm. I mean, Charlie Kirk's assassination inspired this nation to step the hell up, and it shouldn't have took a bullet in blood to do so, to get these people fired up enough to stand against the radical left. I wouldn't even call these people Americans, because that is so un-American. That does not constitute any of our moral principles. Murder does not fit anywhere in our nation. That's not what we're founded upon. We're founded upon diplomacy and articulation. If you can't figure out your fucking problems by talking it out with actual wisdom, with some common fucking sense, then you're worthless. You have no bearing. You are absolute waste.
You need to go sit in the fucking corner is what he's trying to say.
Period. Yeah. You need to get the fuck out of this country and let the people that actually want to enjoy the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that's not being infringed upon by these people that call themselves whatever they want to call themselves.
Boom. Rowdy, you're getting a run for your money here, bud. I'll tell you what, fucking...
Huzzah!
We ain't even started talking about the political side of shit yet. I mean, the violations to Clause 1 of Amendment 5, you know, as soon as you...
Of course, that one. Yep.
Man, for real, like, Clause 1 of Amendment 5 says that they cannot, you know, take you and put you in jail without having an indictment or a presentment by a grand jury. And here in Michigan, that's been completely left out of the legislation. There is no grand jury. You don't have the right to it, because they intentionally left it out. That way, Michigan Court Rule 6.102 allows the judge, prosecutor, and law enforcement to act on a presumption of guilt that has been established by law enforcement to get a conviction out of you. And it is a conspiracy on the individual from the court on all directions. I mean, that's what the grand jury clause is supposed to protect you from, is a malicious and hasty prosecutor. But yet here we are getting booked and imprisoned by information and hearsay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It just happened to me, you know, with my wife. You know, we had a verbal disagreement that led to me leaving with my children, and she did not get the better end of the deal, and she felt like she needed to make a power move, and she called the police thinking that they were going to help her, and they didn't. I mean, they tried to call me and get a hold of me. I left them a voicemail telling what happened, but that was kept out of the report. And by the description of what my wife had said had happened, they came at me with the domestic violence. And I've never put my hands on my wife in my life. I wouldn't do that. That's not who I am. That's not what a man is supposed to do. You're supposed to protect. You're supposed to defend. I'm not that guy. Well, anyway, they wrote a report. The trooper that took the report wrote the report, changed wordplay. He took the victim's statement and then changed it, altered it, making the police report a fallacy. And then presented that to the prosecutor, who then took a month and a half to file the actual charge against me and get the warrant to have me detained. And then while this happened, I'm with my wife every day, you know, and I do everything with my wife. And then all of a sudden, here one day I get pulled over out in Clark Lake, and they took me and put me in jail. And then they, under, you know, duress and threats and coercion, I was forced to agree to their terms to get let out of jail. I had to agree to the no contact order, and I had to stay away from my wife for 49 days.
Hmm.
And I went to court here last week because of the no contact order, it's forced me into a position with my children and not being able to work. I am a full-time father of four boys, and it makes it much more difficult with my wife not in the picture because I'm a full-time father now. I don't have any time for work. I don't have a stable babysitter that I can depend on. So I'm stuck being dad.
Right.
And I mean, that's not a problem except for the money's not there. I have to have the money to pay my bills, and I can't do that when I'm dad. So it created one hell of a problem for me. It inevitably, the no contact order made my wife homeless, made her bounce around couch to couch, made her lose her job. Well, the place that we stay at, they ended up getting pissed and put us in for eviction. So we had the court date, and coincidentally, it was in front of the same judge. So when they came around and came time for them to ask us what the hell was going on, why we haven't paid our rent, we both unloaded on the judge and told her that the court was responsible for this. Otherwise, all of our bills would have been paid. So the court actually assumed responsibility because my wife and I legally backed the judge into a corner. And she's even guilty of defamation of character because of this, because she ended up calling both me and my wife extortionists to the court, which all we were doing is exercising our legal rights. And we get called criminals and extortionists at that.
Right.
You know, that was completely unprofessional. Then the judge flipped out and said on record that she didn't care in like three times. Well, anyway, I believe that the dismissal of the no contact order was due to the three motions that I put into the court. And I explicitly put emphasis on every single constitutional right that they had broken of mine in this whole process. If you are married, then you not only have, you know, made a vow and a covenant to the state, you know, to get your marriage license, the marriage certificate, but more importantly, on a higher level, you made a covenant to God. And that supersedes any man-made law. And I made that point blank clear because the Constitution protects the obligation of contracts in Article 1, Section 10. It says that the state shall not interfere with the obligation of contracts. Well, marriage is a contract, and no contact order interfered with my marital obligations to my wife and that of my tenancy. And they tried to make it seem like it didn't matter, but we both reassured the court that, yes, it did matter. Yes, it is the reason why we are in the situation that we are. And yes, you are responsible for that order. On top of the Brady violations that they had, you know, withholding exculpatory evidence on me, which was my voicemail, was kept out of the report. The alteration of the report, making it a fallacy. The prosecution proceeding on false information, yet another Brady violation. I mean, how long does the corruption continue, you know, before we actually step up and do something about it?
Right, I feel like that shit just keeps going until you stop and be like, no, wait a minute.
It really does. That. And, you know, these people that get in the system, they're sitting in jail if their crime, you know, supports that. If they believe that they're guilty enough, then they'll leave their ass sitting in jail with a higher bond, knowing that they're not going to be able to attain that bond. So it makes it more likely, like 83 or 85% more likely for them to take a fucking deal and get the prosecution their guilty plea. Because that's all they want. They want your money. They want your time. They get paid for you to sit in jail.
Right.
You know, it's no skin off their nose. I mean, this whole conspiracy of convicting by way of information and not by indictment by grand jury is most definitely unconstitutional. And the fact that Michigan Court Rule 6.102 allows them to go against the Constitution on a state level because of these Supreme Court case laws back in 1833, Barron versus Baltimore. I mean, that's what Tanoa Downing and Jessica Saxton are rounding up to go to the Supreme Court about. And as soon as we get there, we have to have a certain amount of support from we, the people that are in like mind with us. And I believe that number is 10.4 million Americans that are United States citizens that believe in what we believe in. And that is a constitution that is free from state interference, that the rights and privileges are enumerated in their full amenity, where we get the full protection of the Fifth and 14th Amendment, where the state cannot interfere and convict us by way of information, and a overzealous and hasty prosecutor doesn't get to maintain, you know, a 99% conviction rate, because that's really what it's all about for them. You're just a name on a piece of paper, and if they can get you to go to jail, then they get paid for it, and it looks good to them on their paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really up to us. If we can see the corruption, we need to speak on the corruption. We all need to unify. That's why this is called I Am Spartacus, this webcast. That's why we named it that, because that's what we have to be. We have to be the next Dr. King. We have to be the next Charlie Kirk. We have to be the next voice that stands up to them and says, that is the fuck enough. We're not going to take your shit anymore. We're going to do with it, you know, the way that our forefathers said we're going to do it. And if you don't like it, you can get the fuck out or shove it up your ass, because we're done.
Woo. Yeah. Damn, that sounded authentic, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the people that are watching, I guarantee you they're clapping, because they know that I'm correct. I'm not speaking from a personal standpoint of something to gain. I'm just an average person like the rest of you, you know, and I came from nothing, too. I was born in the dirt just like the rest of you. From the dust I came, the dust I'll return. That's what it is. Ain't nobody better than that.
In the meantime, I'm going to collect as much bullshit as I can and hang it on my wall.
It's a rite of passage. It's a way of life, and it's the way of Christ's life. That's the life that we are supposed to emulate within our own heart, within our own self. God is in here. He's inside the conscious, behind the eyes, sitting on the seat of the throne, grabbing the reins, giving every man according to his works. And that is his word, so you know that it's true. You know, he says, I am the light of the world. Ye that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's John chapter 8, verse 12. And, you know, and we got all of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world that keep looking up to the sky. You know, we are all watchmen getting ready because of what the Bible says. The Bible says very, very specific things about very, very specific topics, and these things have come to fruition right before our very eyes, you know. And the Bible says, watch ye therefore, for ye not know when the master of the house cometh. You know, that's Mark 13:35. You know, he's getting ready to come back, and us Christians can see the lawlessness abounding. That's what's going on here. The stabbing in the neck, Charlie Kirk assassination, the guy getting gasoline set on fire, the beheading of the manager at the laundromat.
Well, just think about how much shit's not on video. It's not, you know, reported.
I'm saying,
on,
and
like,
and
you know,
then,
I mean?
You know, on top of all the natural disasters that have happened at the beginning of the year, we're just right now stepping into a new hurricane season. And I mean, how much more catastrophic things,
bro,
are we going to
have to
witness?
I still can't get over the freaking train crash in Ohio,
man. I mean, the lack of safety protocol on the railroad, because it's owned by the federal government. That's really what it is. Charlie Kirk's killed because of an enumeration of things. You know, one, because he stands for righteousness. He stands for Jesus Christ. He's trying to expel the darkness, trying to expose the Epstein files for us American people to really see who is the man behind the curtain responsible for all this bullshit. You know, and
you know, one of the big things, though, that I heard, we won't get too much into it because I don't want to get expelled from my platforms, but
period,
that he was starting to not support that, you know, star people, the people with the star.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing about it is, God says that he'll bless them that bless them. And
well,
it seemed to them like he was withdrawing that. And right now is a very important time on the prophetic scale.
Is God giving us a test? Like, we know that they're, like, evil, but if you bless him, we'll, you know, I know that you are all...
Well, the Bible is very clear that it says that you are supposed to love your enemies and bless them that persecute you.
Oh, man.
It's a very, very hard thing to do.
That's hard to do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's why we're supposed to put on the full armor of God. That way we can stand against the willies of the devil. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the governors, against the rulers of wickedness sitting in the high places.
Right.
That's what we're fighting. And it is so, so profound that it has bled over into the man-made world.
Old Princess, she asked, do y'all think that we're on the fast track to a new age civil war? I don't think so.
That is a matter of perspective. If you can really,
guns and ammo type civil war.
We are already at war.
Right, right.
We've been at war, you know, ever since 9/11 when they induced the Patriot Act upon us and started interfering in our private business. That's really when the war began. Because it wasn't a war on an individual versus individual. It was a war between government and civilians to control everything. That's what they want. They want control over everything. That's why Facebook was even invented, because everyone will put their personal business out there for everyone to read.
That's probably why you get paid more to post like kittens and puppies and jack-o'-lanterns than you do like... the true shit that's going on, they'll take your money away.
Period.
They'll be like, nah, we're not going to pay you for that. And we're going to lower your level of income.
I mean, and honestly, you got to think in the mind of these criminals, are they really thinking? Because it seems to me like none of them have a brain cell one. Complete lack of common sense. Yeah, the dude that killed Charlie Kirk might have had, you know, gun knowledge, knew how to line up, knew how to aim. He probably didn't know how to compromise the wind resistance or the gravity drop like they were saying online. But what about the after process? You know, that's the part that gets me. The dude is a fucking retard. because not only did he make himself seen, which that's, you know, sniper first class type shit. You get in, get out undetected, unsuspected, and...
Well, obviously he wasn't known.
No, 22-year-old punk-ass kid that, you know, just threw his whole life away that is about to get executed, you know, and I wish he'd take the William Wallace exit, you know. You know what that is?
What's that?
The William Wallace exit, if you can recall the movie Braveheart.
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, definitely, until the end. When the guy gets hung and then, you know, completely severed by horses pulling his arms and his legs.
Oh, that's the William Wallace exit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is a righteously deserved exit of a coward.
Yeah, I seen a video this morning where he jumped off the top of the building and, like, landed, I mean, pretty hard. Like, how did you get away, bro? You had to walk so far to get up to that building.
He didn't get away. See, that... They have to maintain a level of mystery. Have to make the public think that the perpetrator suspect is elusive enough to keep the mystery alive. But it tells the criminals that they might have their chance to get away, you know, so to speak. Like, they delay their actions to basically not only solidify the conviction, but... the delay of action by the FBI doesn't show that they know more than they know. So by their delay, lets them think, you know, this information has just been accumulation over X amount of time when they fucking had it from the jump.
From the beginning, right? Princess here says, and I call her Princess because that's what her name is on We Game on Xbox. She says, only reason he got him was a ricochet. Now, I was talking about this earlier. If he was wearing a better vest... with better Teflon and better, like, padding and all that shit, he would have been fine.
I think what happened here, all right, you know, we got everybody over here trying to spread all their false bullshit about, you know, the angle of entry and exit and all that. Well, the human bone, especially the clavicle, is one of the hardest bones, you know, other than your femur. You know, it's one of the most solid ones. And what happened is when it went in, it hit that clavicle and ricocheted off of it and went out the other side. That's what happened.
Okay, so it was tore right through diverted, his fucking
everything. That's what a ricochet is. It's a divertment of that bullet. And that's
I thought it hit his shirt and then ricocheted off the plate and went through his fucking neck.
No, and you know, a lot of people, when they first seen the video, too, they thought it might have been an AR-15 because that's how that bullet works. It'll go in here and come out here or bounce around first and then come out. That's how they work, you know. But the single shot, I believe they said, bolt action rifle.
30-06.
Definitely a decent gun. Anybody who knows what they're doing with a gun could easily have made that shot.
That has a good, yeah, that's sighted in with a good sight.
Absolutely. Anybody with a scope could have got that shot off. But the lack of experience in the distance and the angle of descent, like they said, the gravity would have pulled down on that bullet from him. Because I guarantee you the person had enough hate in their heart to sit there and point it right in the middle of their forehead. Like
I was
going to
say, right in the head. He was aiming for the head.
Absolutely. Was
and
aiming
that
for
bullet dropped and hit him in the fucking shoulder.
And he probably, you know, didn't squeeze the trigger. He probably pulled the trigger. You know, there's definitely implications of inexperience written all over this.
Should agree, because it was a steel plate. Ricocheted. The video I saw shows the plate shifting the shirt, but then again, I believe it's all bullshit.
You know, who's to say that the bullet didn't come out once and ricochet off the vest and go back in? That could have happened. You know, we ain't going to know shit until they get done with the autopsy, if they have one.
Right.
Which they might not. I mean, autopsies are very disrespectful to the deceased. They really are.
They could, dude, I've seen somebody. I just got done watching The Wire. Excuse me. Oh, damn, I'm tired. But I just got done watching The Wire. And great show. But if there's any truth to this shit, you can make up whatever the fuck you want on an autopsy as long as you got the right amount of money.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I mean, hey, here's $1,000. Just make it say this. Like, oh, okay.
You know, and the capability of AI nowadays, I mean, they can make anything that was fake look real as shit, man.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. I was seeing a couple, stuff. It was like ads or something, and I'm like, because normally you can tell, but then I'm like, it's going so fast that now I'm like, I know that's AI, but that's scary how close that is.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I've seen...
Like, they're almost to the point to where it looks like absolutely real. There's no, I can't even tell. They probably, some people do have it, but I mean, it's almost to the point to where it's like wide now, widespread.
Yeah, definitely. The biggest problem in this country today is the reduction of morality. People have no conscience because they're self-centered and seared narcissistic people. They don't, there's no, as John Wayne would have said, you have no milk of human kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. And the absence in this life, and people wonder why their life is in shambles and why these horrible and horrific things happen. Then they try to blame it on God. And that's the worst thing to do, because it's not God. It's Satan. Satan is the god of this world with a small g, probably a small d. No. There's a reason why Jesus fasted for 40 days and went into the desert and then was tempted of Satan. And at this point, he was taken to a mountain and shown the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor. And it was probably a future glimpse of what it would look like. And he said, all this, I'll give it to you, but you just got to bow down and worship me. And, you know, for the creation to tell that to the creator is why he said to get behind me. You know, he had no authority, for one, to give it. And the reason he even got authority was in the Garden of Eden, when Adam gave up responsibility and put the responsibility of the fault on his wife, Eve, who also negated her responsibility and put it on the serpent, which is how the serpent got his power over this world, because he assumed that responsibility and he took it.
You know, it's funny, Alicia was like, at the very beginning of this, she's like, so who's the stiff? Because she's never seen you here before. But what's funny is James has used more proficient and prolific language in the wheelhouse that's ever been spoke, I believe. And he's probably the one that knows most about the Bible, I think. I don't know. I just started reading the Bible. If you've never read it before and you can, like, get away with reading like a good edition, what that gets, you know, to the point. It's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, Rick, because, you know, it's people that take that initial jump, you know, because there's a lot of people that are afraid to, you know, say the name Jesus Christ or even follow through and find out what his real name is, which is Yeshua, which means God's salvation in Hebrew. That is his real. But anyway, back to what said, as far as early learners and people, one of the most profound ones that I can, I have a couple. I'll give them to you. The first one is Revelation 3:20, and it's Jesus speaking. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." That is one of the most profound Bible verses, I believe, for the relationship between you and the Son of the Most High. Now, there are other ones that are, you know, everything in the Bible is equally important to the other. They're all hyperlinked together. And here's another one that I believe in the beginning of your understanding is so crucial and important because it teaches you how to use God's word. And you can use God's word according to God's own law because you know that his law is not only what is written right there, but it's also true to the opposite. And what I mean by that is there is a commandment that says, you know, a lot of people think that it says, thou shalt not lie. Mm-hmm. That's not the commandment. God hates liars, hates the lying tongue. But right. Don't get me wrong, that is not what it says. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. What false witness is, back in those times, is when two people would sit there and advocate what one person had just said, which would pass it as truth. So when you got two people that back up this one person's testimony, that is truth. That is established as truth in the eyes of their people, their government, their way of life. That's how the Declaration of Independence was written, and that's how you gather your witnesses and how affidavits work in the court of law even today. So when you look at thou shalt not bear false witness, then you know that in order for something to be true in the Bible, it has to be referenced twice and supported by another thing. And we call that precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. And the verse that comes from is chapter 28 of the book of Isaiah. And it says, "And to whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, saying, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, be snared and taken."
Dang, he didn't memorize the whole Bible.
I mean, that's just the will of the Lord for me to understand and communicate what I have already been given to give to you guys. I mean,
right.
That's pretty much what it is.
Hey, there you go. I like it. So before we close out, well, we still got a little bit of time here.
Yeah, we got
time. Let's see, I want to make sure we do about at least an hour, so.
I do want to highlight and iterate on a couple more things.
Yeah.
To help you guys and understand your enemy, the art of war is to know
thy
enemy, you know, and to understand your enemy, you have to understand what their vices are, what they do, what their fruit is, the fruit of their lips, the fruit of their works. And we know from the Bible, it says that Satan came only to steal, to kill, and destroy. So you can look at the events of this past week alone and know by the fruit who is responsible for it. That is the truth. And I'm going to iterate on a couple other things for these people that are out here that are getting, you know, led astray and you know, brought to an ignorant you know, standpoint when it comes to the word of God, it's because of these preachers and pastors and in high places of church that will not highlight the topic of the blood of the Most High. You know, they will not touch on it. They will not talk on it. And they're given over to, you know, the ideology of the crucifix, which is a graven image. And, you know, you got them saying, come to the cross, and it's not the cross. You know, the finished work was done on the cross, but your redemption is not there. It's in the blood, the shed blood of the precious Lamb. And in order to receive this, you have to believe this, have faith in this, and faith is the substance of things that are hoped for but not seen. And in order to, you know, make it apparent, then you have to act on it and act in the will of God. And in order to do so and not be like the heathen, you have to follow his instructions. And you ain't going to know what them instructions are unless you follow the word of God and read it for yourself to understand what it is and where he is coming from as it pertains to you in your life.
See, but my simple, feeble mind, okay, it's a lot to like to go into and to think about and to wrap your mind around. So within my understanding, and I think this is why my grandmother never really took us to church, because, and then don't sorry, Grandma, I'm not quoting you, but pretty much I'm guessing in her mind she's like, we don't have to go to church to go to, you know, to see God, to be with God.
No, the body is the temple, like I iterated earlier.
So
you know,
he
is sitting on his throne.
But the, like what you're going over and what you're talking about, all the stuff that's in the Bible, like if I was trying to learn that at a young age, it would turn me off and I'd be like, I don't know about it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because
it starts off
with
the little stories that you have to learn about, you know, Joseph and about Moses, you know, like... They try to take these and turn them into cartoons and stuff to reach the children and teach them about Jesus because he loves the
dude,
kids.
Dude, I need a cartoon right now. What are you talking about? Give me a cartoon. I'll take it.
For real. I love me a good cartoon as well. But, you know, back to what I was saying, though, is the Bible says to be not ignorant like the heathen, to not be like the heathen at all. And, you know, when you fast, you're not supposed to fast and tell people what you're doing. You're supposed to fast in secret. You're supposed to anoint your head with oil. And you're supposed to fast with a purpose. You're supposed to say, you know, like, hey, God, I'm fasting for you for this reason. I need this in my life or I need this out of my life. And I need you to make it happen because you're the only one that can. And then you enter your fast with a purpose and a prayer. And then, you know, when you pray, you're not supposed to pray like the heathen either. You know, how all these people, you know, not only just in the churches, but...
Praying for wealth, praying for life.
No, it's not even about that. I mean, you can ask God for money. He's the giver of all, but it's not even about that. It's how they do it. The Lord says that you need to pray in secret. You need to go in a place that is just... you know, closed off. You close the door behind you. That way it's just you and him.
Right.
And there's like this spiritual barrier that gets placed around the room, you know, so the devil can't hear you speaking, so to speak.
Yeah, I pray at nighttime before I go to bed. Ever since I was little, my grandma always taught me that one prayer, the now I lay me down to sleep.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then I do my Father, please bless this person.
Absolutely.
And then I'll be like, I'll do my last final, like, dear Lord, please, whatever's, you know, bothering me at the time, like, help me with pain, you know, help me with this problem I got, whatever, and then I'll go to bed.
Well, the Lord taught us how to pray, too. He told us we need to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
That's about all I know.
And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. I thought it was deliver us from evil.
It is, but the evil one, evil, I mean, it all, it's systemic.
It all does the same.
Comes from the same place.
Right.
So
she says, yes, because Jesse talked a lot about ignorance, and I wonder if this was a crime of ignorance because the shooter was shut down in a very smart way, very logical, and his arrogance and ego was hurt. It seemed to me that that's how the extreme hate built up and led to this incident. Now, that's one thing. When all this happened, I talked to my boy, Buddy. And I'm like, you know, one thing I said was, it doesn't surprise me And it doesn't surprise me because Charlie Kirk is a... He's a debater. He's, like, kind of a smartass. He would go to these fucking places, and he would be like, this is why you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you exactly why you're wrong. And everybody would laugh at the person trying to talk. And it's like, really, you're giving them... You're talking about having, like, a discourse, having a conversation with people, which it does turn into a conversation. But sometimes people will get a little bit fucking snippy, and so he'll get snippy back. And then it just turns into a fucking argument.
Well,
or whatever.
See, the whole problem with it's not even a problem, but the realization of that is because when people are living in their sedentary life, mm-hmm. and then you have this guy who they presume as a righteous asshole tells them that they're living a fucking lie, yeah, they're gonna hate him. All yeah, right. they're gonna want him dead. And fuck them for thinking that, because just like he's entitled to his opinion and right to speech, they're entitled to be a piece of shit and say what they want to.
Right.
That I mean, for real.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, he was an antagonist, but he wasn't wrong. I mean, like, a lot of his shit he was right on. I mean,
everything.
Shit,
almost damn
almost
near
everything.
If he
was ever wrong
said.
About something, he would go back and be like, you know what, I'm sorry, I was
Absolutely.
Wrong, blah, blah, and he would do it right away.
That's part of righteousness, is when you're wrong, you accept your wrongdoing, you take responsibility for it, and you apologize. And you don't see anybody on the left apologizing. They were celebrating this man's death. They were having parties about it and making disgusting comments about it.
Right.
There was fucking graffiti in Washington this morning at a college that said, kill all Charlie Kirks.
Oh, I've
That's
seen
me
that.
Too. I'm a Charlie Kirk. I'm a civil rights activist and litigator. I guarantee one of you little he-she fuck faces come at me, you're going to get your neck twisted around. Man.
Oh, shit.
Honestly, I'm going to tell you how it really is. The only people that are protected by God are God's people. That anybody that rejects Jesus Christ is not one of God's people. The Bible says it. Therefore, there's no protection for them. Period.
I feel like I'm in a WWE episode right now.
Man.
Rowdy, bro.
I'm hot. I'm pissed the fuck off. I mean, for real. I mean, they want their ways, but yeah, when someone wants their way too and expresses something that's against their way, they gotta kill them because they can't top it. They can't.
Well,
they can't
it's everything. Look at the past. I was just listening to another guy. Who was it? Fucking the old guy, the old comedian guy. He died now, but he's always like. Look at they want you to do this. George Carlin.
George Carlin. I love George Carlin.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, you know, it's funny about assassinations. He's like, we always want to kill the ones that are always about peace, about, you know, like the ones that are always so peaceful. We kill them.
JFK.
Martin Luther King's, JFK's, Bobby Kennedy's, blah, 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 blah. Like,
Malcolm X.
This whole thing. Yeah, Malcolm
Dr.
X.
Dr. King. Yeah, all of them. They all had something to say. And they didn't like the something they had to say. And they needed to silence them. That way they didn't start something. And
well, I think they knew that they were going to cause a bigger revolution. They were doing something that's going to fucking open so many eyes. It's going to cause a revolution. And every single time they did that, it did shut some shit down. Like, they shut it down. And
I mean, have you seen Chicago?
Oh, yeah, it's fucked.
The gang members of Chicago said, you can let them come. Well, we got switches.
Right. Y'all motherfuckers think you got switches that you're just... Hold the damn thing in place and try to hit it. You know what I mean?
Man, for real.
Y'all are fucking over here shooting damn birds and UFOs.
Next thing
and...
you know, they're going to have turrets mounted to the top of their fucking car.
They need something at least to where they can get, maybe they'll have better aim. I don't know.
Man, this country is fucked up. And it's that way because we have sat by and watched as evil progressed and we have allowed it to happen. You know, we have a duty as a United States citizen to stand up for the corruption as we see it, to do the right thing. And it's a lot easier to do nothing. You know, that's the problem.
And that's the thing with, like, doing the podcast right now. Like, what we're doing right now is we're spreading awareness of, like, what you're talking about how, to be honest, I think when they killed Charlie Kirk, they just created a bunch more Charlie Kirks.
They did, but they also put a target on all of our backs.
That's true. It's almost like when you stomp on a spider, but that spider had a bunch of little spiders, and now the little spiders are all running free.
Period.
And now it's like, oh, we can't kill every single little spider. Where'd they all go?
Except for this one's more like Hydra.
Yep, with the seven heads or whatever.
As soon as you cut a head, more come back.
Yep. Two, you cut one, two come back, cut two, four come back.
Except for with Charlie Kirk, I believe he had millions of followers.
Oh, yeah.
So that means there's millions of people that are pissed way the fuck off right now.
Do people, and the thing is, like, if it was anybody else, cities would have burnt down. If it was a, you know.
Right.
If it was a DRSA different color, cities would have burnt down and everybody would have been like, oh, fucking racism.
And that's all because of the brainwashing from the government to make us think that these people are any different than us.
Well, the thing is it's been going on for so long that the brainwashing has already been done. I was watching,
It's been passed on.
Oh, yeah, through family to family to family. Charleston Weston or whatever his name is, that black comedian guy. Like, he was on there talking about, the fuck I care about another white boy kill another white boy. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know, he does got a point there because when it's black on black, nobody really cares and says anything. But then again, it's like, it happens all the time.
That's I mean, as far as the mass population, I don't think they get the chance to care because most of it's suppressed.
But when Dr. King got killed, everybody was mad about it. It wasn't just fucking
They're
black
still
people.
Mad about it. Right. They're still mad about JFK. I mean, JFK was the boomers' hope.
Oh, you know? Yeah. And to get out of fucking the ultimate wars. It's the same thing we're in right now.
It's because he was about to uncover a plot that undermined the integrity of the United States. What up, Tomasa? Que pasa? You know, I mean, he was killed by his own Secret Service and had his head blown off right in his own car going down the road.
Do you think it was from the driver
turning around? We've seen the footage. It was declassified.
I seen it. Are you sure that's what it was? Was that
him? You watched
They must have doctored it first then.
They had to have. They tried to change it for what it was, and then they had their little Patsy Fall guy.
Because I was like, bro, that does look like the fucking driver turns around and pops his ass, bro.
He does. And he doesn't turn all the way around. He just grabs his gun and just reaches around.
Boom, and then takes off.
Yep. And then you see his wife, you know, go to hop out of the car until she realized that it was just him that she, you know, he was targeting. And then she tries to put his head back together.
Oh, that makes more sense of why she fucking hopped out. She was exactly like, I'm going to fucking die now.
You know, and then, you know, we're talking about Charlie Kirk and you know, the Epstein files. You know, that might have been one of the reasons, but, you know, this 22-year-old kid could have been paid by somebody to do this. Our government is corrupt as shit. I've seen it all before. You know, there are people that get paid to do these heinous crimes.
Well, this kid could have been not only paid, but I think he could have been coerced. And he could have been like, bro, you see how he just fucking duped you right there? Like, you should just fucking climb up on this building and get your fucking revenge.
Man, for real.
We'll get you out of jail.
Something.
Don't worry about it. Hey, you know, we've been having fun this last 47 minutes, but I tell you what's not fun.
What's that?
Fixing shit around your house. You know, you just ain't got time. I'm going to give you somebody that's going to help you out.
Man, for real.
Hit up our friend Mike Miracle at A Little Bit of Everything. Handyman, remodel, snow removal, commercial, residential, with salting. That's good for the wintertime, folks. Give him a call, 517-392-6451. A Little Bit of Everything. Appreciate you, buddy.
You right. need that with the snow coming.
Yep.
It's coming fast.
If you live in Michigan, you know how much of a pain in the ass that is.
Oh, man. I love it, though. I'm the only one that seems like knows how to drive in this shit. Everybody else just goes crazy.
Yeah, I hibernate, especially now with my van and my fucking wheelchairs. I'm just like, I ain't fucking around.
I drove one winter in a Dodge Caravan with zero brakes.
Yep, that's always fun.
I did it successfully.
You use the e-brake at all?
No, I didn't have one.
Damn.
Zero brakes.
Fucking just to the floor.
No, I didn't give a shit about it. It was like a $200 beater, and I would just put it in reverse and mat it. And I would fucking spin the wheels backwards and come to a stop. And then,
oh, nice. There you go.
I didn't give a shit,
Mike,
man.
Is a great guy, Tomasa. Yeah, he's done a lot of stuff for the wheelhouse, helped me out here a bunch of times. We do appreciate Mike. And love him as a good friend. So, with everything that we've talked about, what do you think? What's next on your list of shit to do?
Well, I am going to city council here coming up Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. here in the
Jackson City Council. Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, we just got done doing Dearborn about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I seen that video.
Yep. I was up there with Jessica Saxton and Tana Wadowning, and we were doing our thing, as we will continue to do in the We Shall Be Free tour over Michigan, as you know, they see fit and they can afford, because the shit ain't free.
Mm-hmm.
Not by any means. And all of my expenses, I've mostly covered myself, other than, you know, little bits here and there that I get from them or, you know, people that support me. And yeah, we're going to keep on going, man. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stay silent. And we're going to make some shit happen. We're going to change some legislation, get some rules changed, go to the Supreme Court and try to get this shit overturned so us Americans can live in that golden age that Mr. Donald Trump done promised us.
Hell yeah. Sounds good to me.
So that's the goal. Honestly, it was a dark day on September 10th because the goals and dreams and ambitions of this country has been shit on yet again by the radical left. And it really is just a sour taste in everybody's mouth, even from Democrats. You know, they're considered the left side. Even they detest the actions of the radical leftists. Right. So that should tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
That should say that part of the wing and the tip of the bird doesn't belong. And, you know, birds that go in cages get their wings clipped. So we'll leave that at that.
Birds aren't real. Oh, shit. All right, well, I got to tell you, man, I do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, come follow me. I am Spartacus. Look it up on Facebook. I am period Spartacus. And the reason for that name is because of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk is my inspiration to do this because if any of you have ever seen the movie Spartacus, when it came time for the man to answer for the higher authority, everybody became Spartacus. Everybody says, I am Spartacus. And they could do nothing because they were powerless against the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the people. And yes, they are powerless against us. Let me re-say that again. We the people make them powerless against us. We made the laws and they are our servants. And the only reason why the servant has become the master is because we have negated our responsibility as United States citizens.
We got too comfortable and too fat and sat behind a TV for too damn long, man.
It's time to pull out the treadmill. America needs to do some cutting at the waistline. Let's go, people.
Lose that belly, baby.
That ain't a fat joke. So don't take it as one. It was a metaphor in case there's people out there that want to dissect that.
I'm sure there is somewhere. I don't know if they're part of my entourage. But
yeah, if you guys ain't got nothing better to do other than stand up for your rights, I suggest highly that you come to the city council and
hell yeah.
Come make your voice heard. They can't keep us quiet. They can't keep us quiet at all. We're going to speak. We're going to say what's on our hearts, what God gave us to say. And no matter if it is a Himalayan life climb like Everest, we will make it. We will force success through the opposition. It is the realest shit, and you cannot fake it.
You can't fake it. You gotta make it. Yee, that's right.
Period.
Good podcast, bro.
And I'm gonna tell all these people on behalf of the American people that this government... It intoxicates me with the exuberance of its vociferance. And its highly grammatical prognostications are just a little too copious for its diminutive intellect.
That's exactly my thoughts. You read my mind.
Period.
Absolutely, Mr. Jesse James. I am .Sparta. Check him out.
Let's go.
Until next time, guys, it's been a great, great hour with you.
It's definitely been a pleasure, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, Rick.
Yep. Check out our sponsors. Check out iam.sparta online.
Absolutely.
Spartacus. Yeah, Spartacus. I'm fucking it up. Yeah, and check out the movement, man. Hopefully something gets done.
Come join the We Shall Be Free tour.
Definitely. Check them out. We Shall Be Free. Yee, yee.
Peace.
Till next time.